Do small everyday sounds like that, maybe somebody chewing, infuriate you? Well, you're not alone, and it can be due to a rare condition. It's called misophonia, causing you to go into these fits of rage, or for some people to do that. And for more, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Eric Storch, who's a clinical psychologist at the Baylor College of Medicine. Doctor, what is this? What causes some people to be annoyed by certain sounds?
Yeah. So misophonia is this condition characterized by selective sound sensitivity. And these particular sounds that affect individuals really cause a high degree of distress. So it's actually usually not rage. It's more this intense emotional reaction, you know, which could be anxiety. It could be, you know, overall feeling upset, anger, irritability, or so on. Now, why this is, we don't really know. You know, there's some evidence that there's certainly an audiological kind of component where people hear things or certain things to be a bit more intensely. There's certainly a psychological component that comes into play, you know, trying to understand why certain sounds and certain people making those sounds are so distressing. But right now, we really don't know sort of the why behind it.
My son has had this for as long as I can remember, and he gets so upset at certain sounds. We never are quite sure what they're going to be. My wife, to a lesser extent, has it. My daughter and I, we don't. Is this genetic? Is this passed down?
Yeah, great question. There's some initial data that suggests a genetic relationship here, but still, this field really remains in its infancy, with about 10 years of attention to it, and only in the past 3 or 4 years, really more concentrated focus from our research in clinical space. We do hear a lot of stories just like yours, where there's, you know, one parent and then one child who may be affected. But that still sort of remains a question to be asked and hopefully answered.
Well, you know, what I've wondered is, and my son is not the quietest eater in the world. I mean, he's a teenager. So why can the person that has this be a loud eater and it not bother them? But if someone else chews or sniffs or makes a sound with a plate scraping or something, it does bother them.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things about this. And really speaks to the psychology of it, in that it's not just the nature of the sound. You know, for example, if you sort of presented a different kind of imagery component, you know, or had the person imagine, you know, a different way the sound was being emitted, then the level of distress tends to be a lot less. So there's this interaction between the sound and then the person or object that's making that sound that really kind of interacts and makes it more intense.
Hmm. So, I mean, I've just read up on this a little bit, but apart from cognitive therapy, is there any way to get over this?
Well, right now, that's one of the areas that we're, in fact, researching at Baylor College of Medicine is what are some of the interventions that may work? What are the components with that? And then how well does it work and why does it work? You know, we think that there are kind of cognitive approaches, ways of rethinking about the sounds or, you know, engaging in different types of imagery exercises. We also think there are behavioral pieces, too, where even though it's distressing, how do you figure out how to ensure that misophonia doesn't take over one's life? And so that's another area that we're particularly interested in.
Is this something that, and maybe it goes back to what you're saying, that we're still learning about this and we don't know, but is this something that can happen in midlife to a person? Or if somebody's had it since they're a child, it can go away in their 20s or 30s?
Yeah. So a big part of what we do is conduct research, try to publish on this. And so we have a paper that we've just completed that asks this exact question. And what we're seeing is that most people report onset during childhood, and then gradual intensification of the triggers as life goes on, with, you know, some consistency in the particular triggers, but often also some variability in, you know, who's upsetting the person, you know, the degree of distress, as well as some of the co-occurring problems that can also be related.
So it's more likely to get worse than it is to get better.
Yeah, for a lot of people, you see it run a stock market type course, depending on their response. So, you know, ups and downs, but gradually intensifying. I think that phrase, though, depending on the response, and in the near future, depending on the interventions that we have available, I think those are two massive, massive mitigating factors. So some folks, learn ways of dealing with this. I had someone come through our clinic the other day who, when there was a noise being emitted that really distressed them, they imagined it coming from a baby. And that significantly reduced the level of distress that they experienced. And so I think those are some key components at play. And I'm very, very optimistic that in coming years, we and other people working in this space will have some ideas of how to help people suffering from this.
All right. Well, it's fascinating to learn about, and we appreciate your time. Dr. Eric Storch, clinical psychologist at the Baylor College of Medicine.